He could have given you something for Jersey Boys.
I was so hoping for a little, you know, Frankie Valli something.
Who?
Yeah. No, but you got to get out of the
cave. Start with us with that, that attitude.
There is stuff that happened in the world before, like, 2005. You just got to believe me on that.
Yeah, I was born before that. Well, that's about it.
But you don't, nothing else matters to, you know.
You certainly didn't mature much before or after that date, I'll tell you that.
Not necessary.
We are snapper.
Joined by Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. Today's Marsh Hallberg Sports Law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. Now, Marsh, before we start, I want to throw out a, not to him, because he won't play anything from Frankie Valli. Zach, can you get on the microphone? Does he know how to make that work here? Zach posts things on Twitter for us. Let me read what he put.
Okay.
Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense and HallbergDefense.com is in studio next to talk sports law on the Bob Sansevier Show. That is exactly what I... Now, that guy doesn't have to be told what to do like this guy. Zach, that was a good job. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. You guys can hear me, but I won't be able to hear you because the headphones in here don't work.
Okay, well then, Zach, let me just say this. Learn how to push buttons in here, and maybe you can come in here and play Frankie Valli when Marsh Hallberg's in.
Stay in there, you're fine.
So anyway, Marsh and we talked a little bit earlier, had a bit of a texting or email conversation. Yeah. There's a couple of things you had brought up that I thought were great topics.
Yeah, I thought, well, one is, one, I just happened to be downtown yesterday at the Juvenile Justice Center right next to the new stadium, Viking Stadium. And when you get that close to me, most of the time I'm driving by on the highway, right? I'm going on 35 North going by it or whatever. But you get down next to that thing and you look up at how high that peak is going to be on the west end. That is a massive structure. I mean, we all know that anyway.
Huge,
but
yeah.
But to be on foot and looking up at this thing, it's going to be an exciting transformation of our downtown. It really is going to be great. So the cool thing is to keep the mojo going, keep the momentum going here. We've got they got the Super Bowl in 2018. We got the Final Four in 2019. And so now they said, well, let's keep it going. So now they're pushing to try to get the college football playoff national championships here sometime 2019-2020. What's going on is that the bid process is out there right now. They're going to be taking bids for 3 years, 18, 19, and 20, for those 3 years to bid for. And some of the players that have traditionally been successful in that, like Indianapolis or Pasadena, those kinds of places, are not going to be in there. The game is going to be in Tampa Bay in 2017, and the question is, where does it go after that? I don't think Minnesota has a good shot at and would therefore be smart not to even ask for 2018. Having the Super Bowl and trying to do the college playoff at the same time is looking a little... One, they're going to say, can you really juggle that much? And two,
no.
You're getting greedy and getting piggy here. So I think it's far more likely that we're probably going to be looking at 2020, which seems like a long way away, but it's just 40-plus years, so it's really not that far away to bring that event in. So then I did a little research because I was just curious on, okay, but what's that mean for revenue and everything else for the city? And, it's a big range based upon what the college teams are, maybe more than pro, I think, because it's a little more fickle in that sense. So, but you're looking probably at least $3 to $6 million at least to bring into the city. Plus, they count them as room nights when tourist bureaus and everybody look at hotel bookings, they'll call them room nights. So it's each night you book is a room night. So you three night stays, three room nights, obviously. So they looked at this last year and they thought they had about 6,000 room nights booked. So that means somebody comes in, they stay a couple, 3 days for the game, spend a whole bunch of money, and then they go home.
See, I think it's going to be difficult for Minnesota to get it for a couple of reasons. One of them is the NCAA doesn't feel like the NFL that it has to share with northern cities.
Yeah.
That they need to put them in up here. And they also may feel that the stadium isn't big enough for what they want.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I think part of this, too, I mean, we have a game out in L.A. that just the ability to have hotels that are that close that people aren't driving all the way in from Stillwater or somewhere, yeah. Right? That just the mechanism to house that many people is a real challenge as well.
Well, I know the Super Bowl will be here. Obviously it's enough, but there's a lot more. There'll be, and I guess they can go more with temporary seating. But I also think that the decision, if the NCAA were to consider coming here, they want to see the Super Bowl be put on first.
Right.
Because there's a lot of locations they can go with the college championships.
Do a test run, see how it goes, and then give you a shot later.
Wouldn't that be something? The NCAA is using the Super Bowl as a test run for it.
Right.
But I don't think they're in any rush because we know already there's a lineup of cities that want that game.
Oh, my gosh, yes. But maybe we can be the one cold spot. If they're going to pick one out of all these warm weather places, they can throw one some bone up here.
No, and I don't mean to be a devil's advocate, but there are so many venues that have bowls that they the NCAA may feel beholden to that they have to take care of them first.
Yep, I agree.
So that's that's only one reason. I think it's a great idea, though. I'd love to see. I mean, we had back in with the 91 in that area, the World Series you had. Yeah. Well, I mean, we had the U.S. Open here. You know, you had the Super Bowl. There was like a 16 or 18 month period when every major event pretty much came through here.
Yeah, I think, and part of it, I congratulate. I mean, you don't get it if you don't ask, right? So keep plugging away. We got an incredible $1 billion investment in this building, and let's get some return on it. So I applaud them for at least trying to make the bid to make it happen.
I'm also surprised there are not more accidents close to there, because I look at that thing and see it going
up. That's a good word. That's my yesterday when I was standing on the street right outside looking up. It was just how incredibly tall that thing is.
And honestly, it's more than 50% done. How much they've done?
Yeah, yeah.
You almost think that they could get it done if they worked through the night. They could get it done for the start of the NFL season.
Rock and roll, yeah. This warm weather, they're running around like little bees all over that.
Well, it's good to see not many guys leaning on shovels.
Yeah,
they keep them working. They certainly keep them working and moving. Now you also did you watch the fight?
I did watch the
Pacquiao Mayweather. Did you like it?
I guess the problem is I kind of sucked into the hype a little bit, you know, fight of the century kind of a thing, and I thought it was better than it could have been. I was concerned they were simply going to just dance around out there for 12 rounds or whatever and take their paychecks and go home and then maybe have a rematch or have a draw, something like that. There's so much money that was involved in this thing. It's astronomical when you look at the dollars. I think part of it is with the immersion of pay-per-view that's come out that it's just a whole different animal now. And fighting fits that real well. Boxing fits that format really well for that pay-per-view with the restaurants and everything else. I mean, it was a spendy thing. I don't know if you saw that, but B-Dubs didn't even take the Wild Wings didn't even take the show to put on for their local restaurants. It was $5,100 a restaurant.
That's what they were asking?
That's what they were going to have to charge. So they left it up to some of the individual restaurants if they wanted food. I think in Minnesota, the only two that did it were Moorhead and Bemidji. The places that did have it, some places like, I think, Sneaky Pete's and Champs and Mystic Lake and a couple others, they're charging $20, $25, $50 a person admission charges.
Just to get in.
And the B-Dubs that had it, too, the same thing. They were charging $20 a head. The B-Dubs in the Philippines, by the way, did have it. They charged also $20 to get in. So it was just incredibly crazy. So that kind of cable money generated, and the way the split is off the cable money is it's 60% goes to the fighters, 30 to 40% goes to the cable providers, and about 7.5% go to HBO, Showtime, those guys. So that 60% just of the pay-per-view money, that was $173 million that the two fighters were divvying up. So they take the $173 million they get from the cable.
Well, most of it, more than 50 of that, though, went to Mayweather, not Pacquiao. They didn't do a 50-50 split, did they?
Well, what they did is they took the $173 million from the pay-per-view, and then they got about another $133 million. So that's where you get to that $300 million number that they got from tickets, international sales, merchandise, all this other kind of stuff. So they have this $300 million number. Mayweather basically was a 60-40 split for Pacquiao getting 40. I didn't realize this. There was a small little percentage for who actually won the fight. Also was a variable, which I didn't think was built in at all. But they are both guaranteed at least $50 million. The thought is that Mayweather got $180 million and Pacquiao got $125 million.
Oh my gosh.
I would have fought Mayweather for $125 million.
Well, did you see Pacquiao's facing disciplinary action now?
No, I did not.
For not disclosing the injury that he had, because he has a torn right rotator cuff now, and he had apparently he had some issues with it before and didn't say that when he's asked before the fight whether he had an injury. You know what? How goofy and how corrupt some of these things are. Like boxing has been accused of being,
right?
Allegedly has been. They're gonna fine him for that. He wanted a fight.
Yeah. Did you watch the fight?
I did not.
Yeah. You know, and again, I can see how this can be an angle or trying to mess with somebody's head, because Pacquiao, the whole time he comes out there, is just like almost like silly. He's laughing and smirking as he gets into the ring. I mean, this isn't like, you know, pre-fight a couple hours. Even as he's literally getting to the ring, he's just being almost like kind of goofy a little bit. And it's hard, I got to believe, to shift from that kind of silliness approach, or lightheartedness is, I guess, the better word, lighthearted, to, you know, have that killer instinct to try to take somebody else's head off. But so, I don't know, it was okay, but I mean, I look back at the, again, we're old enough to remember Thrill in Manila and some of those kinds of fights and rematches. You know, Ali was the best. He really was. I don't know.
Well, and this one, actually, the place that we're charging $20, that's not a bad deal. You go in, you get it. It's still cheaper if you don't go nuts on drinks.
Right.
You know, than having it at your house.
$100 at your house. So, no, $20, and you know, like you said, they hope you're going to drink up a lot while you're there. And there's a bunch of fights before that I kind of half zoned through, but were decent.
So did you watch at home, or did you go to a restaurant?
No, I was over at a house. So.
Oh, somebody had it?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way to do it. Let somebody else throw the party.
Yeah. No, it's going to eat their food, you know.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Well, you know, the other thing, did you
watch their Hellboy or not?
I did. I caught very small clips of it when it was live, but I've seen highlights since then. Because there was a place right over by a friend of mine, their new apartment. We tried to walk somewhere, possibly scope it out. Okay. There were people flooded out the door just staring through the windows trying to catch a glimpse of the fight.
A great promotion by him.
See, Saturday night, we actually flew home from... Now, high schools, when your daughters went to school, did they have a grand march for the prom?
Yeah.
Because they had that. My son Sawyer went to the prom.
Tell you what, man.
It's very strange seeing him in a tuxedo and not with his ball cap on and his, you know, his blue jeans and T-shirt. But we went to that, and we flew back home to watch the Derby. We caught it just after they all come out of the gate, so we saw the Derby.
And that I did not see.
I honestly didn't really care about this fight because I had a feeling it would be Mayweather, and I just it's not something that held great interest to me. And I think that I know it was hyped, and I think it was overhyped to a point. There's no good heavyweights anymore. Nobody cares about the heavyweights. So,
this fight over, we've disappeared. Nobody cares about fighting. So what did you think of the Derby real quick, being a horse guy like you are?
I look at it from a few different angles. One is American Pharoah, to me, has the kind of name that would fit with the other Triple Crown winners.
Okay.
It's not going to happen with some of these. I mean, Ocho was not going to do it. And, you know, and some of the name, even Materiality, which that's not a bad one, but it just has that name that kind of can fit. Yeah. The problem is it was a slow time.
Yeah.
So I don't know that, I don't know if the horse can continue winning. The Preakness, maybe, but Belmont is a long... I mean, Dortmund is a horrible name for a Triple Crown winner.
Yeah.
But that horse also, he kind of faded down the stretch. And Materiality, who I actually liked going in, he had a bad start out of the gate and never recovered because he's a guy that usually runs from the front. Okay. He's getting the... Hellboy's giving us the old...
So bossy.
Let's move along here. Today's Marsh Holberg Sports Law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. Marsh is not going anywhere. He's going to stay with us. We got D-Bag of the Day coming up. And you know what? We got more Twins tickets to give away. Another pair of Twins tickets. And we have some Northern Invasion tickets, too, featuring Slipknot, Five-Fingered Death Hell Trap.
You're really close. Five-Fingered Death Punch.
I knew that. What was the other one? There's another really hot
Volbeat.
One. Full beat. And by the way, this is sold out. The Northern Invasion in Somerset, the amphitheater, it is sold out. So if you win these tickets, you are getting something that is a very coveted ticket. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. We're going to let people, we're not even going to throw one out. They have to nominate their D-bag of the day or D-bag of this week so far. And we'll let you, we've got a... potentially a future judge with us, a top former prosecutor, top criminal defense attorney. He'll help judge it. The phones are lighting up now. Give us a call if you want Twins tickets and or Northern Invasion. Be right back.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Give that number again, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. We are giving away Twins tickets and Northern Invasion tickets. That Northern Invasion ticket's a hot seller. It's they're sold out. So if you're interested in that, you need to give us a call at 651-989-9105. We've got a few callers on. We got room for another one. You just need to give us your candidate for D-Bag of the Day and why. Let's hear from our first caller.
Our T-Wells correspondent, Shane.
Shane, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. Who's your candidate?
I'm going to butcher his last name. It's Jarvis Crittenden. Crittenton, yeah. He's so I don't know if you guys have discussed this, but he's the guy who's famous for the incident in the locker room with Gilbert Arenas where they pulled a gun on each other.
Yeah.
Well, I just read an article on him. He ended up going into the NBA, had his opportunity, joined some sort of gang in L.A., and ended up doing a drive-by shooting of some sort, missed his intended target, and killed the mother of a mother of four, an innocent bystander. Wow. If that's a little bit more than a D-bag, in my opinion.
Well, that would certainly be in the police blotter division.
Yeah.
And that,
so,
that one,
I think that's
that one is
D-bag worthy.
But how? Okay. How? I'm trying to think how recent that one was. Because he was arrested
He just got convicted this week.
Yeah. Oh, the conviction was this week. Okay.
Yep. He's going to jail for 23-year sentence, it said.
Now, you know what, Counselor? I'd say that could be a good candidate.
Yeah, we don't even have to say alleged anymore than if there's actually a conviction.
No, it's confirmed this week, so that's why it's news this week.
All right, well, Shane, hold on. Let's see what else we got here. Who's your D-bag of the day or start of the week candidate?
Jason from Red Wing.
Jason.
Boy, that guy had a heck of a one to top, but I'm going to go with... Denver Broncos first overall pick. You know, the dude gets busted on Monday for possession of pot and then ends up going to Denver in a place where pot's legal. I mean, that guy's kind of a douchebag to get lucky.
That's a great point. That's a wonderful, that's a really good point. Now, and what you're, well, you know what? This would help your cause, too. Who are you talking about? Is it
Ray, dude. I can't remember his first name. His last name is Ray.
I have one of my children has the same first name. Shane Ray, you mean?
Shane Ray, okay.
All right, hold on a second, Jason. That's pretty good. All right, who's next?
Brian from Stillwater.
Brian.
Hey,
can
how's
you beat
it going?
Good. Can you beat those two?
I don't know. I can't think of a guy's name, but I heard it this morning. The guy just got released from prison, and on his way out, he smacked two guards, so he didn't even get a foot outside. He got sent right back in.
Wait a minute, this is a athlete?
No, not an athlete.
Well, we're kind of looking for something with a sports connection. I love that though. That's good.
That's called felony stupidity.
Yeah, that's a good one. But I we're looking now. Can you give us somebody related to sports?
No, probably Pacquiao with not relaying his injury before the fight.
Well, that'll count. We'll take that in consideration. All right, hold on a second there, Brian. Now, I kind of think Jason was right. I liked what Jason said about Shane Ray, but Shane with the Jarvis Crittenden.
Yeah, it's just like, so sometimes we have two categories of D-bags, but it's just so tragic that it's there that, yeah, he's
it's an
all-star.
Thing.
Yep, so I think Shane kind of carried the day there, you know? I know Jason gave it a good shot.
Wait, you know, here's the thing, though. We have two, basically, first-place type tickets.
I mean, they're awesome tickets for both.
You know, for both. So you have the Twins game tomorrow and Northern Invasion, which is coming up, I believe, this weekend.
So wait, should we give Shane first choice, or what do you think?
Well, but neither one is we don't want the other one to be a consolation. All right, we can put Shane on.
Hello?
Shane, you can't lose with either Northern Invasion or Twins tickets. Which one do you want?
Twins tickets.
All right, Jason's going to get the Northern Invasion. You're missing out on some good music. All right, did you lose Jason?
Yeah, he'll have to call
Jason,
back.
Call back. You've got the Northern Invasion tickets. That is one of the hottest tickets in town. It's sold out. If you don't call back, we'll give them to someone else. We'll give them to Brian if you don't call back. Just call back before the show and give us the information. Brian, check in with us later because you may wind up with him if Jason is unable to give us a ring. I'm sure he'll get back to us, though. I don't have very much doubt about that.
Yeah, that could be him right there. I just mashed a bunch of buttons.
Yeah, buttons
then
left and right.
All of a sudden, everybody disappeared. My bad.
Not a problem at all. Now, Marsh, let me ask you this. We did have the call yesterday. You may have been in cases involving this. Did you ever have a problem with Fox Sports North girls? Not the – just the term. I even said when we've had them on, why not gals? Because even that's not as offensive as calling them girls.
Yeah, because would you call them boys, right, if you had the reverse kind of thing, right? You're not going to call
them – that
could
be a problem.
Right, the boys. So it's dumb they would even come up with that name in the first place. I think that somebody didn't think past that a little bit. So I don't know, some of the smaller stuff. I just want to fight over bigger issues in life. I guess we all get excited over different things, but I'd be more concerned about the kind of money they're getting paid and work conditions and all the bigger scope stuff that kind of goes with it.
Oh, I'm sure they were all pulling, yanking down 100, 120, yeah, maybe 200 right. grand a year.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it is done just because a lot of them are models or actresses.
Yeah.
Who it's just another, you know, it's just another thing for them to do.
Because I think there are two or three cheerleader lawsuits that are still to settle out. They haven't settled yet from the NFL sitting out there.
You know what's interesting about those, by the way? Hmm. The cheerleader lawsuits being married to a former Vikings cheerleader. Former cheerleaders, they actually are bothered by those lawsuits because my wife Mary yeah. said they know what they're getting into.
Right.
They knew what they were going to get when they got into it. They didn't, she's right. They're thrilled when they're named to the team knowing they're not going to get paid minimum wage. They're going to get whatever the team says, and they know that going in. If they don't, they shouldn't have tried out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and part of the answer is some of these teams are just pulling the cheerleaders and are changing the situation, what they're involved in, so that they're insulating themselves from these lawsuits in the future.
Well, I'm surprised that they're even exposed to them now. You'd think they would have protected themselves because a lot of it is based on they get appearances. They did get when my wife did it, and she... her last year had to be in the 90s,
yeah.
You know, early 90s, I'm thinking, or I don't know, early mid, whatever it was. But she, they got two tickets to games, and they didn't really get, they might have gotten like $25 a game. They didn't get much,
right.
But they didn't care about the money.
Yeah.
Well, that's not why they did it.
Yeah. For times are different, right? Everything's more, these damn lawyers were screwing up everything out there.
Well, you're not involved in any of those lawsuits,
no. No, we only do criminal defense work, so I don't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you don't like them. You don't deal with the minutiae.
Well, the minutiae, but it's just you can't. The days of one lawyer knowing all types of law, that kind of family practitioner, almost like the family doctor, they're just gone. Everything's just way too complicated to be good at more than one or two things at a time.
Well, it's been a long time since it's been like that, right?
Yeah, no, it's it has. There's some I think old timers that have kind of tried to hold on and do everything that's there, and don't think they can do it very well.
Well, when you decided you wanted to get into law, did you know right away you wanted to be criminal? Did you try some other things, or what was the one you went into initially, or was this it?
Well, it's funny because when you're in law school, that's the one thing any lawyer that's listening, you always know in law school, the one question they always ask you is, what kind of law you want to practice? My answer was always, I don't know anything but criminal law. That's what I said, anything but criminal law, because I just thought, oh man, you're dealing with these, you know, horrible people every day, and it's bad, and blah, blah, blah. But then I found out that I think a lot of other types of laws can be pretty boring, at least to me, that I'd sit behind a desk all day and push paper. That's the last thing. I like to be in a courtroom every day. I like to hear myself talk, guess what? And I found out that criminal law was the place. If you're going to do that, that's what you need to do. And there's a lot of negotiation and that as well.
Well, let me ask this question. Is there, because it strikes me every attorney works their ass off because there's a lot of research. I mean, the amount of research you do has got to be 10, 20, 100 times more than when you're in court. Background.
Yeah, the only question is always, you know the answer to every question you ask when you're in court. You should know the answers through the research. And, you know, and we're lucky if most law students will work at law firms. We have a couple that are great working for us now, and we have paralegals. And so I can kind of turn people loose at this point in my career and go, find me the answer to this question, and then come back with it.
But what would be, if you're generally lazy, what would be the lazy man's law to get into? I would think, and this is because, you know, we do a lot, we talk about sports. I would think a lazy man's type of law would be being an agent for someone. Because that doesn't seem like, I mean, you just have to know what the market is. And like in the NFL, it's all slotted when you're rookies. And a lot of guys are attorneys, so that's all they do.
Yeah, well, it's really not practicing law as more. I think half of all lawyers do not go into law anymore. It's other business-related kind of things, like being, you know, knowing contracts, knowing those kinds of things, but kind of getting through. And
there's none you can. You can't be a lawyer and slide in any of those areas, can you?
Well, at some point you get held accountable. That's the problem we have. Is some areas that aren't as closely supervised, just because you don't see the work they do. I'm a trust lawyer, and I'm just moving trust papers and stuff around. Unless you're somebody really watching those things, or you're doing some every 6 months a review by the court, those kind of things, a lot of that stuff doesn't get caught me right away, and it gets a lot more problematic for everybody.
One quick question here, and then we got to go to Jim Suhan. Why are there so many? Is it just to more billable hours, so many whereases and therefores in contracts?
It's
why isn't it in plain English?
Well, old habits die hard. So one, I think we kind of We make it so hard you can't do it yourself. I think there's a little bit of subconscious that we just make this legal mumbo jumbo. There really is a movement towards away from that, especially things like family law. They're trying to really simplify that in some of the terms and the trying to make things less adversarial, push things a lot more to mediation so people can try to do some more of that themselves, I think. So that's a good thing, I think.
Well, like, okay, I'm not going to go off on a tangent with this. I'll ask you off the air.
Okay.
Why, like, if people, I'll throw the question out there and then we'll answer it off the air. When people do a will, why can't I just write, when I die, everything goes to Mary. And just sign it. None of those, of sound mind and all that crap. Anyway, we are of sound mind because that's why we're going to have, we would be crazy not to have on Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and Suhan Unfiltered. How's that for a transition? Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. We'll be right back with Jim Suhan. We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. I have a friend who has it. He loves it. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, are you headed or in St. Paul already?
I am at the building itself right now.
Do you have, like, tape on your hands? You're all set to go? You got your helmet on? Good to go?
I have my game face on, and every time I say that, I think of Bob Knight making the 18 different terrible faces. Bob Knight was a jerk, but he could be a funny jerk.
Yeah, he could.
That was pretty good stuff.
I agree.
We're joined, of course, by Mark Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, along with Jim. Jim, I don't know if you went to the morning skate or if you talked to Russo about it. I'm guessing they were as loose as any team could be down 0-2.
Russo was just telling me I didn't go to the morning skate, because I'm not writing live today. I'm kind of gathering for later in the week. Russo told me they were tight. So they were very tight.
Really?
I don't know. I haven't been around sports forever. I've seen loose teams play well, and I've seen loose teams play poorly. I've seen loose teams, tight teams play well. And I think what matters is how the game starts and who scores the first goal. These are both really good defensive teams. We've seen the first goal mean way more than it really should. When you have 5-3 and 4-2 games, the first goal shouldn't be shouldn't be deciding, but it has been in this postseason for the Wild. It's like they get a lead, they play with confidence, they don't take any chances, and they're very tough to beat. They get behind and they kind of lose their minds a little bit. So I don't think how they felt this morning matters. I think who scores first and how the other team responds to that is the key tonight.
Well, and if you're the Wild, though, what you don't want to do is start thinking about, you're facing a team that might be the best scoring team in the postseason, potentially with the guys they have, because they're so dangerous. I mean, where would you put? You've got four or five guys who could just crush you as scorers.
Yes, and they have the highest skill level. Let's face it, they have skilled defensemen too. Between Taze, Hossa, Hossa kind of saves himself with postseason at this point in his career. Kane is probably the best stick handler in the league.
Sharp,
Saad, Sharp. I mean, they've taken it to the Wild too. They just have more skill in the Wild. So the Wild has to, not give the Blackhawks' best players any space. And, but Kane's two goals, he's basically all by himself in this series. And then they need to find a way to expose Corey Crawford. They needed, you saw this shot Dumba took. It wasn't a great shot. It was just high and hard, and Crawford had no idea what to do with it. They need to shoot high on this guy. He's been flinching at high shots for months. But to get a good high hard shot on, you have to, have to have puck possession. You have to have some creativity in the offensive end, and you need to get the puck to your better players. But I really think, given that the Wild really doesn't have many sharpshooters, if any, I think shooting high and hard as often as possible is the way they win this game.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do they just need to take a lot more shots, too, just to hope for a rebound here? And more rebounds than they've been getting, certainly.
Yes, and it's such a contrast, too. You look at the Blackhawks stars, and they're trying to pick corners. They're trying to make the pretty shot, and they're good enough to be able to do that. And then you look at, the Wild's best player, Zach Parise. He's not really a sharp shooter. He is and I've talked to him about it before, he believes in percentages. He believes you put as many shots on goal as you can. You go hard to the net. You go rebounds. You go for ugly goals. You create havoc. It's two completely different approaches. And obviously, if you have Patrick Kane's skill, you're gonna take that route. But the Wild need to find. I hate the phrase ugly goal. You dial it pretty goals, but I'm afraid that applies to what the Wild has to do tonight.
Well, it's you could talk about a make or break. This is, if they go down 0-3, do you give them any percentage that they can come back? That, against this team, maybe against another team, I have a hard time imagining that they can come back against down 0-3. That's just too deep a hole to get out of.
No, I think this is the key game of the series. They win this one, then they've got a chance to be competitive. They lose this one, it's over. And I don't really say that. You know, there are teams against which going down 0-3 wouldn't necessarily be fatal. But, you know, you're down 0-3, then you got to win not only your remaining home games, you're going to have to win two on the road. I don't see beating Chicago two on the road.
Now, Jim, have you noticed, because you saw this, and I know you weren't very impressed with how St. Louis showed up and performed. Is there a bigger difference? It seems to be, but a much bigger difference in the way Chicago's playing from the regular season and the way the Wild are playing from the regular season. It seems to me that the Chicago's turned that up, those few extra notches, more than the Wild have been able to do.
I agree. You know, the Wild, let's face it, the Wild's made the best team in hockey for about 3-4 months, at least played like it. And, you know, they're also, because it's the regular season, they were taking advantage of when they matched up against a bad team, and they were taking advantage, and they played really well on the road. And let's face it, some of the good teams they played down the stretch didn't have a ton to play for. I mean, yep. All they were playing for was seeding. So they won some they won a lot of games against quality opponents. What you don't know is how much those quality opponents actually cared at the moment they played the Wild. Now this is different, and Chicago didn't have a great season, and they had goalie problems, they had injury problems. But now you're seeing them at their best. They're healthy. They have everything to play for. They're a championship club for all the right reasons. All their good players are healthy and playing well right now. This is the ultimate challenge, really.
You know, everything could change, certainly, if the Wild win tonight. But it would appear that they got all the clunk out of the junk out of their game against Nashville. And, I mean, this is they are playing. It's not just the Wild not playing the way they should. This Chicago team is – they've got it. They've got themselves into the rhythm they need to be in. It certainly appears to.
It's both. But as you pointed out, Chicago didn't play great against Nashville. They didn't even lead for much of that series. They just kind of made big plays when they actually had to. This looks like – well, that's the thing about team sports. It's always so hard to pick apart just how well one team is playing and how much it's the other team. The Wild, I thought the Wild played pretty well in game one.
Yep.
And Dubnyk's flub cost them. I thought the Wild played horribly in game two. Wasn't for a lack of effort, but they played horribly in game two. And, they got blown out. They got to do better in all categories. They got to be more creative offensively. And frankly, I don't want to say I'm glad Chris Stewart is hurt. That's not the case. I don't like to see athletes get hurt, but I would have benched him even if he had been healthy. Maybe that gives him a little more speed, makes him a little more dangerous. Stewart was giving them nothing. And I'll tell you who really, I think I said before the series was going to be a key, and I still believe it. I think Vanek is a key guy. Vanek is a 3-point-a-game guy waiting to happen. But when he disappears, then he's giving you nothing offensively, and he's also a bad defensive player who doesn't always skate hard. They need points out of Vanek. They need to have somebody other than the top line produce scoring, and that's what Vanek is here for.
Well, you better start doing it tonight, because it's not going to do much good after tonight if they lose. Jim, as always, terrific talking to you. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, have a good night. Oh, and SuhanUnfiltered.com, your latest podcast.
Wait, Craig Leopold on from the Liffey today. I got to be honest, there's something going on in St. Paul. All the Wild offices are without power. The XL Energy Center was without power this morning, and they had some ice problems because of it. And so I don't know how much of our conversation with Leopold actually made it on the air. It wasn't a good situation, but something's up from Craig. He was good enough to come join us, and I appreciate that.
Well, wait, it's not going to be known as the slush game, is it?
Yeah.
Well, they were complaining about the ice conditions this morning. Now they're telling me that they're going to be fine for the game. Craig himself told us that the ice conditions will be fine for the game, but that's a hard thing to control. We can't really know that for sure until we see.
Yeah, slush will slow a team down.
I told Craig I admired him. I said, two big moments in the postseason are, yo, tell everybody to get drunk before the Sunday game. And now, melting the ice so Kane has to swim. I like it.
Maybe we challenge her to a swim meet instead. Maybe we got a shot.
I think they'd be better off.
There you go.
Well, that will be a storyline if it's not. Because somebody will, Chicago loses, they'll bitch the ice was not perfect.
And I wouldn't blame them.
Yeah, they have an argument because it wasn't perfect early in the day. Jim, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with our – he's already calling, and he can't wait to talk. Our hockey guy, Jack Jablonski, will join us next. We'll talk – you know, we might actually talk to him about tonight's game.
I think
get his perspective.
I think he knows a little bit about hockey.
I think so, too. We'll talk to Jack Jablonski when we return.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're back, and we are joined by our guy in Southern California, our hockey expert, Jack Jablonski. All right, Jack, how many finals are left? Before we talk hockey, let's get that out of the way.
We've got two finals left.
And how'd you do on the other ones? And Marsh said it, and you sound tired.
Yeah, buddy, you're just looking too hard. You're partying and booking.
No, I've been working hard. I've been up for a while the last few days. But I'm still excited for the playoffs. We got hockey, and I'm happy. So,
well, are you going to be studying tonight or watching hockey? Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah,
I'll be doing both. Well, I definitely have to.
You won't do either well, my friend.
Yeah, very true.
Are the classes left that you had? The two you have left, are they your toughest ones or your easiest ones?
The easiest and the toughest. So I've got the middle one taken care of, and I've got the hardest one left, and then I've got an easy one left.
All right, now,
so.
Marsh, last week, you may recall, or was it, no, it might have been Thursday. We talked to you Thursday also, right? Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah, we talked Thursday.
What did you decide to do? Because I advised him on what his paper should be, and I'm wondering what he went with for the journalism class. Did you go with AP, Adrian Peterson?
Unfortunately, I did. It was a group project that
you couldn't talk him into.
I was outnumbered. Yeah, I was outnumbered, but I'm confident with what I've got for the other group project, and hopefully we turn out with a nice A on that report card.
Jack, you should have gone being the lone wolf. You would have gotten the A+.
What'd you pick for the topic then?
Yeah, what was your topic?
It has to do with Laura Logan, who works with 60 Minutes,
right,
and had a whole controversial topic with the Benghazi attack. And she interviewed someone that ended up lying about it and promoted it all over 60 Minutes. So it has to do with, like, ethics and journalism.
Did she interview Hillary Clinton? Never mind.
No.
So, all right, so tell us I think we can agree that if they lose tonight, by they being the Wild, they're done.
Yes, no doubt. The problem with me is you look at the Wild and they – played so well in the St. Louis series, but you come to Chicago and, you know, we played well against St. Louis and we're like, all right, we feel good about it. And we didn't change our game plan. You know, we played the same exact style that we did against St. Louis. And, two games later, we're down 0-2 in the series and the backs are against the wall.
Now, just to give you some background, we had Jim Suhan on. He did not go to the morning skate, but Mike Russo did, who works with him at the Star Tribune, and he said they were tight. You don't want to hear that coming out of a morning skate, that guys were tight.
No, and there's, you know, I wouldn't say there's concern within the team because they did it last year down 0-2 versus Chicago, coming back, winning both games at home. They did it against the Avalanche last year as well. So there's definitely no concern when it comes to being down 0-2, but being tight in practice is concerning, like you said, because for a team that's, you know, been there and done that and, you know, won playoff series before, you're not really sure why that would be.
See, that's what I would be a little alarmed about, because when we talked to Jim about this, if they don't score the first goal, that could be mentally crushed, much like I think the other night that was obviously a momentum changer and they couldn't shake it when they gave up that shorthanded goal, especially when it was Suter who did it. That's a bad sign.
Very. And the problem there is you look at Suter, and it's always been a case with Mike Yeo and how much he's played Suter through the years. And you always, you know, every time he has a bad game, you say, oh, well, we play him too much, da da da. I just think it's a matter of not playing certain defensemen more. You know, you look at Leopold, who logged 10 minutes. He's a veteran. He's been in the league for 12, 13, 14 years. You've got Dumba, who's played unbelievable. Scandella's, whose role has diminished since, you know, probably 30 games into the season. So it's a little concerning with, you know, not getting guys ice time, and then all of a sudden, you know, shooters out there making a mistake on the power play, and some others are 2-on-0 on the power play. Another thing you have to look at is you get Stewart out, which may not even be bad.
Everybody's saying that.
Well, because he played unbelievable against St. Louis, but he's been no factor. The only time, you know, he had a factor in game two was when he went down and we should have had a penalty or a power play. Beyond that, he's been slow and inconsistent. So, you know, adding a little bit more speed with you know, putting in Schrader may not be a bad idea.
Marsh Hallberg, by the way, with us, and we're talking to Jack Jablonski. Now, Jack, you're coming back next week?
Yeah, 8 days.
Okay, when you get back, what we need to look into, and I'll talk to our guys here, and I'll check with the Wild, we should get you to cover it for us as a member of the media, if you could get over there.
And
if you,
I'm all over it. Well, I'd be all over that.
We'll look into it. But if you did, I think this is great. They put out what the meal is for the media tonight.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like some pork tenderloin, chicken parm, roast potatoes, baked eggplant, caprese salad, orzo spinach soup, and strawberry cobbler? That's for the media at the game tonight. That's a heck of a spread.
Wow.
I'm that's delicious. I'm salivating over that.
If you have the time, Jack, maybe you can come back for the second game here. Number four. You can take the red eye back and be back in time for that tomorrow night.
Yeah, exactly. And then I have a presentation on Friday. It would work perfectly.
Nah, you have to go back. You know what? You could Skype it in. The I will say this. The Wild, they historically put on the best spread. Twins aren't bad either. But the Wild, you know, for meals for the media, they take care of the media. Vikings are the worst.
I could be like the King's tester. I could go and just do the food part. You know, I could be the food, you know, expert.
You come back and do it. Why
Jack,
not?
Jack could be the hockey expert. I'll just go and blimp out and, you know, the food.
I can't imagine either one of you ever blimping out.
So, yeah, Jack, you think Jim was talking about that. He thinks Vanek is the key. What do you think it is?
The key? I look at Koivu. Okay. I agree with Vanek is very important. He had obviously a very good game in game one. The thing with Vanek is he just needs to shoot the puck. He's always been a goal scorer, and I give him a lot of credit for moving the puck, and he's done a lot defensively to improve his game. But in the offensive zone, he just tends to slow his feet down and look for a pass opposed to drive into the net. He's got a huge body. But for Koivu, you know, you look at the two captains, and he's been outplayed by Taves, you know, by quite a margin. And that was to be expected. Obviously, Taves is probably the best leader in all the NHL. And talent-wise, he's better than Koivu. But defensively, Koivu's been burned by him. And in the first round with St. Louis, Koivu was very good along the boards and obviously in the face-off circle. But he's been decent in the face-off circle so far. And offensively, he's created nothing. So I look for that second line to get a little bit faster with Zucker now up there, and hopefully Koivu can benefit from that.
Now, Jack, when because I know you're in finals now, but when are you available to talk to you? And you have classes tomorrow, or has it changed now because you finished one of your finals?
For tomorrow I can't do tomorrow, but I can do Thursday.
All right. Well, let's plan on talking to you again on Thursday to get the, because, you know, we want to get your thoughts on this, because you, even though you're in Southern California soaking in the sun, you certainly stay on top of this team as well as anyone does and know what's going on with them. So we want to talk to you again. We'll plan on talking to you at some point Thursday. So good luck on these next two finals. And did you get your grade back on the last one?
Yes, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it. I'll talk to you guys Thursday.
Whoa. You didn't tell me the grade you got on the last one. Do you know yet?
Okay. I don't know yet.
All right, I'm sure you got an A+. All right, Jack, thanks.
So. Take care, Jack.
We'll talk to you soon later. Yeah. Thank you to Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense and HallbergDefense.com, your new website.
Thank you.
Is that, I'm sure, if you gotten more clients because there's a new website? People see that. That's impressive.
Well, it's true to tell, but so many people now, whatever they're shopping for, whether it's a pair of shoes or a lawyer, you know, they're just doing it online. So we thought it was impressive to have a lot of information on a website and get it out there for people. So go Wild, right?
Well, put it this way. If they don't go in the way you're talking, they're going to go in another way, which is see you later.
It'll be painful. Now, tonight's tonight. We get one. One and two.
All right, we'll see. You know what? We're going to turn things over. Speaking of that, at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson are there. They will take you right till 7 o'clock, right till they're just going to take you right up to the... They might as well drop the puck for him. Anyway, we're going to take a break till tomorrow. We'll see you then. Thank you to Marsh.
Streaming worldwide at 105theticket.com.